You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
Thursday edition of the show with Spencer Wagon sitting in for Scott Unash here on 1600 ESPN. The Gym Class with you from 3 until 4 each and every weekday afternoon on the airwaves here on Eastern Iowa's home for sports, coming to you live from the Eakin Nutrition Studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. A lot to get to in the next hour. Love to hear from you as always. 319-366-1600 is the talk and text line. If you'd like to weigh in on anything going on in the sports world today, always great to hear from the listeners to 1600 ESPN as we take you through the afternoons here in Eastern Iowa. We're going to talk to Kyle Huseman from Hawkeye Reports, focusing specifically, of course, on women's basketball. The Big Ten women's basketball tournament underway as we speak. We've got Nebraska and Purdue currently underway. The Huskers and Boilermakers knotted up in a tight one up in Minneapolis. Iowa, of course, will start their run tomorrow. The Hawkeyes awaiting the winner of the Penn State-Wisconsin game, which is coming up later on this evening. We've got a preview of the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament path here with Kyle coming up here in about 25 minutes or so. Got an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. Also, a Bowling Night in America recap for you coming up on the show today here on 1600 ESPN. Again, 319-366-1600. Spencer and Mark Dukes with you here on a Thursday afternoon. Mark, how are you?
I'm well, Spencer. Thanks for joining me again and extending your on-air day. Lot to get to. Terrific game last night in Ames. Mm-hmm. And Kyle Huseman, lots to talk about with Iowa basketball and baseball.
Yeah, we'll talk some Iowa baseball. They had a couple opportunities here this early part of the season, specifically for the baseball team, to add some wins to their resume and haven't really been able to capitalize on those opportunities. Did get one down in Ole Miss, but lost the final two there. Of course, had that rough weekend in Jacksonville. So a rougher start than I think most people expected, but we'll ask Kyle about that, of course, probably at the tail end of our time together with him. But it's that time of year, Mark, where we've got daytime basketball, and I'm certainly not one to complain about being able to watch and react to hoops action going on live.
Not at all. It's all over the place. I had to, my remote is getting a workout. I had to tune in to Arch Madness in St. Louis, catch our friend Kevin Lehman on the commentary there. One game in the books, one going on right now, Belmont and Valparaiso. And Drake and you and I will be in action tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe a little bit of a surprise with what we saw, at least seed-wise, in that opening game in Arch Madness. Missouri State really just putting a beatdown on Murray State, 60-35. The winner there, Missouri State, the Bears going on to face the top seed, Indiana State. So you and I fans, I'm sure, probably paying attention to this Belmont-Valpo game. And we talked to Kevin yesterday on the show. He said he thought Belmont was one of his sleeper teams in the field that could make a run to maybe the semifinals or the final on Sunday. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, indeed. I got to believe it's going to be Belmont. By the way, do we have an update on Kevin? Did he have to go to jail? Did we get a text after the program? How do you get out of that?
If you missed the show yesterday, we had the coach Kevin Lehman on a day early because he is busy right now. I don't have it on the TV here in the studio, but he is calling the Arch Madness games through at least the first couple rounds here before things shift to CBS Sports Network. And we had him on yesterday, and he answered our final question. And as we were saying goodbye, he just kind of you could hear him talking to someone in the background. And we're like, what is going on here? So we, Mark, you and I just ended the interview, and he texts us as we're talking to Mark Ironside in the next segment that a highway patrolman, a state trooper, I'm assuming he was in Illinois, Missouri, not sure where he was at, but someone saw him on the side of the road and either called him in or a police officer came up on him, practicing safe interviewing, I guess, and being on the side of the road, and he got a talking to from the authorities. So I'm assuming he's, if you saw him on TV, he's obviously there, but he didn't say he had a ticket or a fine or anything, and I guess just a welfare check. So all's well that ends well, right?
Yeah, more than that, he couldn't use the "Don't You Know Who I Am" card, or "Don't You Know What Radio Station I'm On Right Now." That didn't work in Illinois or Missouri.
Yeah, 1600. Yeah, there are probably many 1600 ESPNs, but a few more we don't know about. Like, oh, you're on that station? No, that's double the fine for you. No, that's not how it works, obviously. But we're glad Kevin made it out of that ordeal, if you want to call it that, unscathed. Did not have to spend time in the county jail. Just a welfare check, but appreciate him joining us. If you missed our conversation with him from yesterday, of course, you can check out the podcast, Gym Class Podcast, from yesterday, kgymradio.com. 319-366-1600 is the talk and text line. I would be rude if I did not mention producer Andrew is here as well. I know you're busy over there. I see you typing away, so I don't want to bother you as
much as I normally do. Much time from me, because I've got the whole show to do what I need to do.
Okay.
And then your show to do what I need to do. So if you ever need to, like, hey, what you doing over there?
Harass you?
Yeah, you can harass me all you want.
All right. Sounds good. All right. We are open for that. Producer Andrew is here as well. Mark, heck of a game last night in Ames. Boy, that's the type of game you expect to see in March. More so in probably a conference tournament or an NCAA tournament game, but my goodness, that was looked for the longest time like BYU was going to go in there. Second week in a row, they were going to end a long winning streak at home. They did it to Kansas last week. Looked like they were going to do it in Ames last night, but then Iowa State did what Iowa State does when they're at home, and they found a way to win and ended up winning that 1-5. That was a heck of a watch last night.
It was, and for the longest time, I thought, listen, this BYU team is going to be a problem in the NCAA tournament. And I still think it might be with the center who can shoot and distribute the basketball and be a presence inside, a 7-footer, very skilled in the guard play. But everything got turned in the second half for whatever reason. And TJ Otzelberger will tell you that it was predicated on the defense, and you have to believe him. BYU was 2 out of 15 from three-point range in the second half and only scored 25 points. And instead, it was largely Iowa State's guard play with Lipsy and Curtis Jones that brought them back. And it's quite a story. I mean, you think back 3 years ago, Iowa State was 0-18 in the league. And now 18-0 at home and poised for a very, very, very high seed in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, still looking at a 2 seed. We'll get into some bracketology here in just a bit. I don't think anything is really updated since when we talked to Kevin yesterday, Kevin Lehman yesterday, and I know Joe Lenardi, updates his brackets more frequently, I think, starting next week. I think it's almost a daily occurrence for him. But Iowa State, still a slight opportunity, slight chance for maybe a share of a conference crown. Conference title this weekend. Houston does have to play Kansas this weekend. That game is in Houston, and considering how Kansas has played on the road this year, 3-6 away from Fog Allen Fieldhouse, and just how Kansas has, I guess you could say, struggled this year, 7 losses in conference play, I'd say Houston's probably the favorite to win that, but still, a 2 seed in the Big 12 tournament, a 2 seed in the toughest conference in college basketball. That's nothing to discredit at all. And you give Iowa State a ton of credit, not just in this game, but the past several games. They haven't necessarily shot the ball well throughout the entirety of the game, but they've relied on their defense. They've relied on guys like Taman Lipsy, like you mentioned, to get a steal, get a stop, and find the right play or get the right play executed to spark a run. And we saw that yesterday down the stretch. BYU was up by as much as 14 points in that one. And Iowa State able to really clamp down defensively. You mentioned the three-point shooting overall for the Cougars in that second half. 7 of 30 for 23%. Yeah. That's down from shooting 57% in the first half. So they were just on fire in the first half and cooled down in a big way. It's like Iowa State turned on a fire hose or something in that second half and was able to really change the way that game was played. And you give credit to, you mentioned Lipsy, Curtis Jones, even Keyshawn Gilbert didn't score a ton of points, but 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals. Those are all winning plays or key plays that lead into the ability to come back from a big deficit like that. And that's something Iowa State has done really, really well this year.
I agree. And Lipsy has been key. You know, he didn't do much of anything at BYU in that, 15-point loss. And, you know, we've seen a lot of games this year where maybe it's Lipsky, maybe it's Curtis Jones, maybe it's Rob Jones, maybe it's Gilbert, maybe it's Momcilovic. Different guys step up at different times. Trey King, who knows? But that's the beauty of this team. Otz goes to his bench early and often and continues that throughout the game. I think a lot of that has to do with the energy that is exerted on defense by his team, much by design, but it's worked quite well.
319-366-1600. If you have thoughts of the Iowa State game from last night or anything from the college basketball world, I would love to hear from you here today. Mark, you and I were talking before the show as a possible discussion topic about Coach of the Year status in college basketball, and I'm sure you could go any number of ways with this. I don't have the list of people who could be at the top or might be a betting favorite, what you will, here. But does a guy like TJ Otzelberger deserve recognition for what he's done at Iowa State? I think he certainly should be among the top five. I know it's a one-person award. Only one person gets it. And there might be a few others around the country that, you know, maybe get the nod ahead of him. But you look at power conferences in general, I'm just trying to think of other names that could pop up as guys that, could be deserving of an award like that. And he's at least, if we're putting together a list of deserving candidates, he's certainly top five, top three in my book.
On a national scale, I don't think there's any question about it. He gets my vote in the Big 12. I mean, in the preseason coaches poll, Iowa State, by the coaches, picked to finish seventh in the league. And look where they're at now. Bill Self is not going to get it. Kelvin Sampson may get it if Houston beats Kansas and wins the league outright. I thought last night Mark Pope from BYU had a really good shot as well. But what Otzelberger has done and what Iowa State has done, he gets my vote in the Big 12. Nationally, I don't have all the ins and outs of, Painter and others that are at the top of the rankings, often don't get that award.
Yeah, I mean,
Todd Licklider got it one year.
Right, that's true. I was looking just quickly here on Google when it comes to a highly scientific search for me here, but just kind of looking around to see what the national conversation is. Early February, here is, again, this is a month ago now, but Matt Painter is in there. Josh Schertz from Indiana State. I think you could definitely throw his name in there if we're talking from a national perspective. Matt Painter, I saw someone arguing for Dan Hurley at UConn, just considering how he went from, national championship, run last year to maintaining that level of success and, dare I say, looking maybe even better than they did last year, and just being one of the dominant forces in college basketball and well-deserving of the number one seed that they're probably going to get in this NCAA tournament. So there certainly are names out there. There's coaches who've made big turnarounds. I saw Grant McCaslin from Texas Tech mentioned on a list. Again, that's from a month ago. A lot of these coaches we're seeing, Mark, are from the Big 12. So it shows you kind of, where these teams were expected to be at the beginning of the season and how well these coaching jobs have been compared to the preseason expectations.
Yeah, and I think Rick Barnes at Tennessee is going to be a big candidate too. Tennessee is poised to get a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. I think they were supposed to be very good this year. I don't know how good, but he's going to get some consideration as well. But back to Otzelberger, his resume compared to what the expectations were, I think it's on a national scale, it's right there.
319-366-1600. Iowa State with that win last night over number 20 BYU. One game left with Kansas State on the horizon. K-State in Manhattan Saturday afternoon at 1. The thing with K-State, and there's been a lot made, of course, Mark, of the dust up, if you will, the allegations of sign stealing, the outburst Jerome Tang had at the game in Ames, where Iowa State won on their home floor, the kind of disagreement that they had, that K-State's going to be circling this one 12 times in the calendar, and so on and so forth. And really, K-State, they forgot to focus, at least in my opinion, on winning the games around them in a tough league, because they've really fallen off the radar entirely when it comes to the bubble picture. They lost to Kansas earlier this week, so maybe a win against Iowa State on Saturday gives them a little bit of a springboard to maybe some momentum here for the Big 12 tournament. But it's going to take. I'm not saying K-State's not going to be motivated for this game, but it's a little bit, I think, less riding on this one for Kansas State than we thought there would be, after that game back in Ames.
I'd agree with that, and I'm not sure how much the dust up in Ames is going to play into things, because I think both Tang and Otzelberger, I think, have gotten together and maybe worked that out, maybe immediately after the game, maybe later on, and come to some kind of understanding, whether the fans have and players have done so as well. I don't know. But it comes down to winning on the court, and winning on the road for Iowa State or any other team is not easy. But I agree with you. I think Iowa State would tend to have some more motivation in this game, with a chance to share the Big 12 championship and solidify that very strong national seed.
3:22 as the Thursday edition of the Gym Class continues here on 1600 ESPN. Looking at the latest bracketology when it comes down to it, not just for Iowa State, but things in general, to give you a general perspective of where things stand. Joe Lunardi does his next full update here tomorrow. He did put out his daily update with the bracket games and such that are important to his metrics. Earlier today, still has Iowa State as a 2 seed playing in the Midwest. Iowa, their position when it comes to the Hawkeyes and their situation coming into the game on Sunday against Illinois, still first four out. Their position within that first four out is fluctuating, considering the teams ahead of them and even below them and what they're doing. A couple important games when you look at things from the Hawkeyes' perspective, Mark. Actually, in action tonight, Utah, who is 2 spots ahead of Iowa, according to Joe Lunardi, and Colorado, who is 1 spot ahead of them. Both those teams are in action tonight. So if you if you're an Iowa fan, I think you're rooting for what? Oregon State and Oregon tonight, the opponents of Utah and Colorado, respectively, to knock those teams off and maybe put you a little bit closer to where you want to be going into Sunday's game.
Yeah, those two teams, and St. John's, I think, is right ahead of Iowa in some bracketologies in terms of first four outs. St. John's, I think, finishes with a very mediocre Georgetown team, but, still has to play in the conference tournament. Iowa basically sits back until Sunday and awaiting that Illinois game, seeing what transpires in the games we're talking about, and plus what Kevin Lehman described as those bracket buster games. We've already seen one when top seed in the conference went down, and there's going to be more. There always is. But the only thing Iowa can do is beat Illinois and try to win at least one game in the Big Ten tournament and take its chances.
Big Ten tournament here, the Big Ten standings at least. Iowa going into Sunday night's game, 10-9 in conference, 18-12 overall. So I said this earlier in the week on my show, Spencer on Sports, which is coming up next here on 1600 ESPN. And I'm not, you know, gunning for moral victories or anything like that here, but an opportunity to go from where you were, 0-3 in conference, to at worst 10-10 in league play, and heck, 11-9 is not not bad at all. That's in fact a really good record considering where you started. You have to give credit to, you know, Fran McCaffrey and staff, but also the players for finding a way to come together and even get to this point in the season, don't you?
You do, and I guess no matter what you think, the eyeball test, whatever you want to call it, there are the metrics, the quad system. I mean, right now, I think Drake has as many quad 1 and 2 wins as Iowa does. Doesn't play in a stronger league by any means, but those things have to sort themselves out. Finishing strong, I think, and you can correct me, Spencer, I think plays into the committee's discussions when things get down to a very, you know, narrow margin, one team over the other. You know, I'm not quite sure how that's going to play out. But once again, it's moot if Iowa doesn't beat Illinois, I think.
Yeah, when you look at the net rankings for what that metric is worth, Iowa currently at 57 as of today. You mentioned quad one wins, 3-8 in quad one. Drake is 3-1, and they are 48th in the net rankings, 2-3 in quad two, with a couple of quad three losses on their resume. So equal when it comes to quad one victories, but of course Iowa in the stronger conference, and Iowa still ahead of them, at least when it comes to the bracketology discussion here. Drake is the last team on the radar right now when it comes to Joe Lunardi's predictions. Next four out, Memphis, Pittsburgh, Wake Forest, and Drake. There are the Bulldogs. So you talk about winning games. If Drake wants any piece of a possible NCAA tournament bid, getting back there for another year, got to find a way to win Arch Madness, which they've done. They were a 2 seed last year and ended up winning the whole thing. So, you know, there's definitely some motivation to get a repeat, possibly repeat title run, conference title, tournament title run for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, winning the tournament takes a good care of everything, right? That goes for Drake, Iowa, every other team. And Drake could do that, no question about it. And Iowa still has a chance for a double bye in the Big Ten tournament if things play out right. Certainly we'll get at least a single bye. And you know, things are going to change between now and Sunday, that's for sure. On the text line, 27-23, kind of speaking about the postseason, in the Big 12, they abuse hands and hand-checking in that league. They will get called in the big dance. Maybe so, maybe not. I don't know. But, you know, I don't, Spencer, I don't know what you've observed, but I think they call it a little looser in the Big 12 than as opposed to the Big 10.
Yeah, it's certainly interesting to see if the differences as you watch different leagues in different games. But I'm interested to see how that plays out, how it's called at the tournament level. Will, you know, the old line just let them play? Will that play out in the tournament games from the first four all the way to the Final Four and championship game, or is it going to be a little bit more stringent in certain rounds, depending on, you know, the teams that are involved, the crews that are involved? I'm certainly no expert when it comes to officiating discussion, but I'm curious to see how that is, you know, officiated, and you know, if physical teams are allowed to be physical, or they're whistled for more fouls than an everyday college basketball game, a regular season college basketball game, certainly is, I think, something that I don't know if it goes unnoticed, but it does play a part in how things can go during a tournament run.
Yeah, because you're going to get different officiating crews from different leagues, and while the Big Ten officials you know, have seen Zach Edey for not only this year, but throughout his career. They know what he does. And maybe Edey gets away with a few things for Purdue. Just watching last night's game, Iowa State and BYU, I thought it was a very fairly officiated game. You know, you look through your own team's colored glasses, right? And you think your team's getting jobbed, and the other team thinks they're getting jobbed. And oftentimes, it's just not the case. Sometimes you can make that case, but oftentimes not.
319-366-1600. Got Kyle Huseman from Hawkeye Report coming up here momentarily. We'll get to him after a timeout in just a moment. But first, we'll toss it over to Mark in just a second here for the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard every weekday on the program. Mark and Scott bring you the top scores and stories of the day. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, classic local American restaurant off of First Avenue near Lindale Mall in Cedar Rapids. Every time I have to read their liner, I see the link for the menu, and I'm very tempted to open up the menu and then stare at things that I could be getting for a snack or dinner during the show here, but I resist that temptation. Mark, what do you got on the scoreboard here today?
You would not go wrong with anything out of it. Yes, 16-26 on the text line. We will talk Kennedy basketball. Boys State tournament continuing in Des Moines. The Class 2A championship game has been set. Number one seeded Western Christian and number two seeded Hudson won semifinal games this afternoon. The 3A semifinals are going on right now. Decorah and Davenport Assumption on the court. Tonight, scheduled at 5:30, the 4A semifinals begin with Cedar Rapids Kennedy and Ankeny going at it. Should be a heck of a game. And then tomorrow, North Lynn will play for the 1A state championship for the seventh straight year. That game Friday, tomorrow at 1 p.m. Also on the scoreboard, reports are that Indiana will retain head basketball coach Mike Woodson for another season. Announced today, I had to look at this. It was a joke, Spencer. Mike Tyson, 57 years old, will fight Jake Paul July 20th in Arlington, Texas.
My first thought is, wait, Mike Tyson? Really? Like, Jake Paul fights just random, I feel like, random people all the time for clicks and video views on YouTube. But then, like, you're really going to go up against Mike Tyson? And Mike Tyson is actually going to go through with this? That's just absolutely stunning to me.
We shall see. A couple other items on the scoreboard. Doug Stryker, the highly successful wrestling coach at Lindmore, announced his retirement from the program. He will continue to teach. Stryker amassed 432 dual meet victories and coached 14 individual state champions. Fox will televise a college football game every Friday night this coming season. Those games will come from the Big 12, the Big 10, and Mountain West. And finally, got to get this one in. In NASCAR, the Xfinity Martinsdale race has a new sponsor. It will be called the Dude Wipes 250.
The Dude Wipes 250. Oh, boy. My favorite is always the hell of a good dip, 250, 500. I don't know. That's been gone for a while now, I believe, but that was always my favorite.
There's some beauties out there. Dude Wipes, look it up.
All right, yeah, we'll trust all of you to look it up. 319-366-1600, that's your Emil's Hideaway scoreboard, by the way, here on 1600 ESPN. Text line 319-366-1600. We'll get Kyle Huseman from Hawkeye Report. Talk some Iowa women's basketball and some Hawkeye baseball on the other side of this timeout. It's the Gym Class on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And we're going to have clouds around through the rest of the day with temperatures in the 50s. After 7 o'clock, scattered showers will start to develop and rain will become more widespread overnight. Temperatures drop down into the 40s and we stay in the 40s through the day tomorrow. It'll be breezy too as that rain steadily falls and rain winds down in the afternoon. Skies will start to clear. We'll have more sunshine for the weekend with temperatures in the 40s Saturday and 50s on Sunday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is now live. The official sportsbook of ESPN features daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN shows and personalities like me. Bet on all your favorite sports with live in-game wagers, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and all the props you can handle. New users get $100 in bonus bets after making any sportsbook bet. Download the ESPN Bet app to sign up today. I'll see you there. ESPN Bet. What a play.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Scott Unash from your neighborhood Quickstar, and you all know that I'm a big Quickstar fan. I stop at least once a day, if not twice, and sometimes even more because of so many things that they do right. Their fresh products, amazing customer service, and you name it. And that includes their terrific chicken, some of the best chicken I have had in a really long time. If you haven't tried Quickstar's chicken yet, you need to do yourself a favor and stop and pick up some chicken. Fried chicken, bone-in, hand-breaded, prepared, fresh daily, 2 or 8 piece. You can also pick up chicken tenders, boneless wings, and roasted whole chickens. And going on right now, you can win fried chicken for life. That's 1 8-piece bone-in fried chicken per week for life. All you need to do is go to quickstar.com/friedchickenforlife. You must be 18 years of age or older to enter, but you can win chicken for life from your neighborhood Quickstar.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-6759. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. There is zero risk to you. If we can't reduce your tax debt, then you pay nothing. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have a 5-star rating on Google and Yelp and an A+ with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-6759. That's 800-575-6759. Tax Relief Advocates, real solutions for real people.
Back at 3:37 on the Gym Class Thursday edition of the program here on 1600 ESPN, 319-366-1600, as we come to you from the Eakin Nutrition Studios on Eastern Iowa's home for sports. With you till 4, Spencer on Sports, me hanging out for 2 more hours until 6 after we're done here on the airwaves on 1600 ESPN. Happy to be joined by Kyle Huseman, covers the Hawkeyes, specifically women's basketball, baseball, and field hockey for Hawkeye Report, part of the On3 network, and glad he's able to grab or take out some time from his day to jump on the airwaves here with us on 1600 ESPN. Iowa starting their run in the Big Ten women's basketball tournament tomorrow night at 5:30 against either Penn State or Wisconsin. Talk about the postseason here for the Iowa women with Kyle on 1600 ESPN. Kyle, always appreciate your time. Hawkeyes with that win over Ohio State last week Sunday. You were there. What was that atmosphere like just being in the press section and taking that all in from your perspective?
Yeah, it was certainly a lot to deal with kind of at one time with, you know, College Game Day going on, which they hosted last year for the season finale against Indiana. A little bit different this time because it was so close, you know, with a noon tip. So it was a little different. But, you know, the atmosphere from the start from 9 a.m. when they started letting fans in was fantastic. And the show went well. And then, you know, you talk about some of the big names that were there, you know, whether it's Travis Scott's there, Jake from State Farm was there. I mean, Nolan Ryan there, Hall of Fame pitcher was there. Several former Hawkeyes, women's basketball players. I mean, Dallas Clark was there. Robert Gallery was there. I mean, there's some that I probably missed. Just really, like, all the off-the-court stuff was a lot to take in itself. And then they played a fantastic game, played really well against an Ohio State team that they felt like they should have beaten Columbus. So they let a late lead go, and they went out and they showed that they feel like they can be the better team. And I think right now they're probably the favorite going to the Big Ten tournament, even though they didn't win the regular season title. That was Ohio State. But, you know, the fact that Iowa came out and beat them on their home floor in the final game of the season, and then the other fact that Iowa won back-to-back Big Ten tournaments, it feels like coming into this week that at least the Blue Jays team is the team to beat this week.
Yeah, the Hawkeyes going for 3 in a row at the Big Ten tournament, but it's going to have to do so without Molly Davis. Curious your take on that, Kyle, with players like Affolter, Feuerbach, and McCabe having to step in.
Yeah, I mean, first off, it was huge to, and obviously it didn't look good on Sunday against Ohio State, right? I mean, she goes down, she has to be carried off the court, obviously in some tears, and, you know, after the game she gets wheeled out on the court in a wheelchair for the senior day activities. Didn't look good. Sounds like she might have to be back to the NCAA tournament. She's going to be out this week. You know, a kneecap injury, I believe, is what Lisa Bluter said it was. Doing some physical therapy to try to get the movement back and try to be ready to go for the NCAA tournament. But yeah, they're going to be out without Molly Davis this week, and, you know, whether it's one game or three games, which means there's other players that have to step up. And, you know, what they're losing with Molly is someone that can, you know, create her own shot late in the shot clock with being able to get to the hoop, or, you know, use that floater in the lane or shoot from 3-point range. She does that pretty well as well. She's really good at assist players, all second on the team in assists, up there in assist to turnover ratio in the Big Ten. So, you know, not necessarily the highest score, but big shoes to fill. And Sita Fulcher is probably the one that's going to get the starting nod tomorrow, whether it's Penn State or Wisconsin. And she kind of brings a different skill set with, you know, her ability to get on the floor and hustle for some balls and the rebounding that she does. You know, she's averaging, you know, almost 12 rebounds per 40 minutes, which is really up there. She also scores the ball from time to time. You know, she's another one of those players that's going to get out in transition. Get some of those easy looks that way. She's hit some 3-pointers this year. She can also drive to the hoop and score that way. I thought she should have been sixth player of the year for the Big Ten when the awards came out the other day. And if that, you know, being a finalist for that award means that, you know, if you have to step into the lineup, you can do the job. But other people, you know, Kylie Feuerbach had a really good last couple of games, last three games, knocked down some 3-pointers against Illinois and Minnesota, and then against Ohio State, you know, had 4 steals in the third quarter. Got numerous deflections on passes, showed a lot of energy on the defensive end. So, you know, if she can come out this week and, you know, keep that 3-point shooting up, you know, be a threat on the offensive end, and then do what she normally does on the defensive end, which is, you know, create havoc, you know, force a turnover here and there with some deflections, that'll be big as well. And then Taylor McCabe's someone that, you know, gets minutes from time to time, not a lot of minutes in those closer games. Only, I think, played 4 minutes against Ohio State. But, you know, when you lose a player like Molly Davis, you have to go down the bench a little bit further. We all know about Taylor McCabe's 3-point shooting. She's one of the best shooters, if not the best shooter on the team, which is saying something with Caitlin Clark on the team. So she brings that to the floor if she's out there. Looked a little tentative with the ball potentially against Ohio State, you know, almost turned it over a couple times. You know, maybe her being one of her first times in a real big environment like that, you know, just had to settle in. But I expect her to see the floor, especially when you have to play potentially 3 games in 3 days at the Big Ten tournament. They're going to need some people down the bench to play some extra minutes. So I definitely think you could see Taylor McCabe get some minutes as well. But, yeah, the good news is that maybe Molly Davis will be back. I would expect her to miss the whole Big Ten tournament and probably the first round of the NCAA tournament. I wouldn't expect them to try to hurry her back when you're facing, you know, a 15, 16 seed that you should take care of. So, you know, they've at least got a couple of games here where they're going to have to deal without her being on the floor.
Kyle, Gabby Marshall, the last 2 games, 16 points against the Gophers, and then added in another 12 against Ohio State in that big win last Sunday. How important is it for Iowa to get Gabby back to the shooting touch, or get that shooting touch back as we head into postseason play?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, everybody saw it last season with what she was able to do, you know, in the Big Ten tournament, the NCAA tournament. Really opens up things for Iowa on the offensive end if she's hitting shots. You know, Kate Martin's had a fantastic year as kind of a secondary scorer. Hannah Stolke as well. You know, both of them were second team All Big Ten selections, and obviously Caitlin Clark, what she's able to do, averaging over 30 points a game. That's 3 really good scorers there. And for the majority of the season, that's been enough, you know, as three really good scores. But, you know, when Gabby Marshall can do that, when she can hit four threes in the game, that really opens things up. It takes some pressure off of those other players. And you saw these last couple of games, you know, how they've been able to operate on offense when you can kick it out to her and expect her to hit those shots. The thing that showed me that she was back kind of to that form that we've seen from her at times, first off, when she hit that early three-pointer against Ohio State, gets fouled. The way she hopped up immediately and was, you know, motioning to the crowd, she was excited. And then late in the game, you know, I think it was the third quarter, she hits a three to put Iowa up 14. Ohio State called a timeout, and she's running back down the court with her tongue out. Was one of those where you knew that she's in the back, right in the right headspace going to postseason. That's kind of what you saw from her late last year when she started to get it going. You saw her having more fun on the floor. And I think she's in that spot right now. Obviously, it's only been two games, so it's kind of a small sample size. But taken somewhat of the same path as last year where, you know, the whole season was kind of rough, you know, had a couple of games here and there. But for the most part, you know, she struggled. But she turned it on at the right time. And, you know, this is the right time right now. So I think people will forget all the previous, you know, 0 for whatever night if she can turn it on here late in the season.
Kyle, as you know, this whole unique time of Iowa women's basketball is going to come to an end, or at least change very quickly, as four talented seniors are going to leave this program. And you're going to have some recruits come in, returnees like Stolke. But have you even thought about what next year and the year after may look like, not only the product on the floor, but the support?
Yeah, I think the product on the floor is going to be different. I mean, we're talking about Caitlin Clark being potentially the best player of all time. I mean, she scored more points than anyone, men's or women's. So, you know, when that type of player leaves your program, things are going to be different. The thing that I've always pointed to when people, you know, discuss a drop off after, which there's going to be a drop off. You know, Iowa's not going to be a Final Four team next year. That's pretty lofty expectations for next season. But you look at what Lisa Bleeder's done in her time at Iowa. At no point has Iowa been a bottom of the Big Ten team, you know, missing, you know, NITs, missing the NCAA tournament. For the most part, they've been making those every single year. And you know, even over the last decade or so, it's been NCAA tournaments. You know, people forget that just a couple of years before Caitlin Clark showed up, you know, they were in the Elite Eight with Megan Gustafson, who won, you know, National Player of the Year, won Big Ten Player of the Year. And the year before that Caitlin showed up, Kathleen Doyle won Big Ten Player of the Year as a point guard. So it's not like these 4 years with Caitlin are the only successful years that Lisa Bluter's ever had. It's definitely going to look different when you take a player out that's averaging 30 points a game that's doing what she's done for the game of basketball. It's going to be different. It might be, you know, next year might be tough at times, but it's you know, still a successful program. You know, Lisa Bluter and her staff with Jan Jensen, Jenny Fitzgerald, you know, they've been around for a long time at Iowa. They've had a lot of success. So I wouldn't expect it to go from where, you know, where they are now to being bottom of the Big Ten, fighting to make, you know, NIT bids. I think that's something that people are missing, that's not going to happen. As for the support, you know, I think a lot of people, there's a lot of talk. Obviously, the away games, there's a lot of people showing up just because they want to see Caitlin play. But I think the women's basketball program in general has gained a lot of fans, not only for their play on the court, because they respect the coaching staff, the job that Lisa Bluter's done. You know, like those coaches I just mentioned, Fitzgerald and Jan Jensen, they respect the job that they've done. So, you know, is every game going to be sold out next year? No, probably not. But, you know, I would hope that the support is still there because they've been able to watch, you know, the last few years of what the coaching staff and what, you know, the players outside of Caitlin, you know, whether it's Hannah Stolke or Sitta Fulter. You go around Carver right now and there's people, it's not all Caitlin Clark shirts. There's Sitta Fulter shirts. There's you know, Hannah Stolke shirts. There's Taylor McCabe shirts. Players are going to be returning next year. So I think the hope would be that those people wearing those shirts next year are going to be the ones showing up next year to support that team. So I think the support will take a drop off, but that's anytime you go from being a Final Four team to not that. But I would expect still pretty good crowds next year to support the team.
Coming back into the present time, Kyle, how do you see this this Big Ten tournament playing out for Coach Bluter and the Hawkeyes?
Yeah, I think, you know, their quarterfinal matchup tomorrow, whether it's Penn State or Wisconsin, two teams they've had a lot of success against. They've won 9 in a row against Penn State. I believe it's 28 in a row against Wisconsin, 27, 28, something like that. So two teams they've had a lot of success with this year. They beat Wisconsin twice. They beat Penn State, scored 111 against them early in the year. So you expect them to win that game. And then you get in the semifinal, and It looks like it's probably going to be Indiana. You know, Michigan's going to give them their best shot if they can beat Minnesota tonight. But I think it's probably going to be Indiana in that semifinal. And that's, you know, I think that's going to have similar vibes to that Iowa-Maryland semifinal from last year. It's going to be high emotion, high energy, lots of fire. Because that's the third match of the season and both teams have won one. Neither team wants to, you know, go into the NCAA tournament saying, oh man, we have to wait to see Indiana until next year. Or, no, we have to wait the next season to see Iowa again. They want to come out of it winning 2 out of 3. You know, and that's going to be a really good game if that's the matchup in the semifinal. I know Indiana's Mackenzie Holmes got injured in that last regular season game, so her status for tomorrow night, is up in the air. So it would be different if, you know, she's limited potentially, but I think that would be a great semifinal matchup. And then if Iowa can get there, the favorite's going to be Ohio State to make it to the Big Ten Championship. And again, same thing. Teams have split the season series, another one where you don't want to be the one that lost 2 out of 3. Ohio State definitely doesn't want a repeat of last year's Big Ten Championship where they got blown out. So I think, you know, if it plays out, the favorite's winning. Iowa, Indiana in the semifinal and a potential Iowa, Ohio State Big Ten Championship. That's really exciting. Would be two really good games, and that championship on Sunday is on CBS. But Iowa's still playing for a one seed in the NCAA tournament, you know. A win in the quarterfinals is not going to help a whole lot. You know, if they beat Indiana, I think they're definitely in the discussion for a one seed. You'd probably have to, if you lost that game, or if you lost the Big Ten Championship, then you'd probably be looking to see what UCLA and Stanford do in the Pac-12 tournament. But if they were to win the Big Ten tournament, they'll be a one seed in the NCAA tournament. Ohio State's in the same situation where I think if they make it to Sunday, they'll be a one seed. So they've got some stuff to play for. And more than that, like we mentioned in the beginning, they're going for a third straight Big Ten tournament title. If you don't think that's something that they want to do, because that's pretty impressive to win 3 in a row, especially when you talk about some of the players, some of the teams that have been in this conference the last couple of years. That's pretty impressive if they can go do it for a third time.
Kyle, let's pivot to baseball for a couple of minutes here. Expected to be a big year for the Hawkeyes right now, standing at 6-6. And I don't think you have, more than a casual observer would say, walks have killed you.
Yeah, it's been a tough beginning of the season. You know, they played some tough competition. I mean, Virginia's a top 10 program in the country. You know, Auburn's a top 25 team right now. I believe they're like 18th or something like that. So, and then Ole Miss, obviously playing there, is one of the toughest places to play in the country. So it's not, they're not losing to bad teams. But yeah, the pitching staff has struggled. You know, the starting pitching for the most part has been pretty good. Marcus Morgan the last 2 weeks is taking a little bit of a step back, has dealt with some walks. He's allowed some hits as well. Cade Overmuller had his first rough outing of the season, but Brody's done a good job on Friday. I think you'd expect that to continue this week. But it's the bullpen that struggled. You know, guys that in the fall that they thought were going to have big roles, and coming into the spring and even returning guys like, you know, Jack Whitlock or Zach Volker, it really just seems like everybody struggled. And it's one of those that's really weird. I was around the program a lot in the fall, watched some of those fall games, some fall scrimmages, and it hasn't been one of those situations where I was sitting in the fall going, oh, this could be a tough bullpen. You know, they're allowing hits, they're walking guys when they're playing Indian Hills, things like that. That wasn't the case. You know, there were a lot of guys. You know, we saw Jack Whitlock last year late in the year pitch really well for a team that made an NCAA regional. You saw Zach Volker pitch it really well at times and was really good in the fall. You know, some of those transfers that came in were really good in the fall, and it just hasn't panned out early in the season. It's one of those where you assume it's going to get figured out at some point just because of the talent they have and what they've shown in other times that I've seen them. You feel like it's going to get figured out, roles are going to get settled in and things like that. But it's a matter of how long is that going to take? Is it going to get figured out this weekend? Will they turn a corner this weekend? Is it going to be in 3 weekends? Because if it's in 3 weekends, it might be too late at that point. So it's really been head scratching. You know, a lot of people I've talked to, I don't really know how to explain it. Cause like I said, it was a lot of guys that were really good in the fall it's not a pitch arsenal issue. They all have really good stuff. Really good, pitches that they throw. It's just a matter of, you know, throwing them for strikes and attacking hitters. And that's been a struggle so far. So like I said, I think it's going to get figured out sooner rather than later. But when I mean sooner, it's got to be sooner rather than later, because, you know, sitting at 6-6 right now as a team in the Big Ten, the longer you go with that 500 record, the harder it is to you know, make it to the Big Ten tournament and feel like you don't have to win it. But everything else, you know, the offense has done its job to this point. I think you'd like to see them score more once they get into the bullpen against teams. But BSU through 12 games has not been the offense. They've done their job for the most part. It's going to be, you know, ironing out the bullpen and trying to get more length out of your starting pitchers.
Kyle, appreciate the time. Enjoy the basketball here this weekend, and we will talk to you down the road, okay?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Kyle Huseman from Hawkeye Report covers the Iowa women and Hawkeye baseball here, joining us on the Gym Class on 1600 ESPN. 3:54, going to take a quick timeout, a Bowling Night in America recap, and we'll wrap up the show next.
Hey, so have you tried fried chicken from Quick Star? Ooh, freshly cooked, hot, and ready. And I'm talking jumbo, hand-breaded chicken tenders, boneless wings dripping with all your favorite sauces. Or how about 8 pieces of fried chicken deliciousness? Perfect. For your next large group meal. I mean, this is fried chicken that slays. I'm not talking about the runway. Slays appetites. Fills you up. This is no ordinary chicken. It'll make any meal extraordinary. Quick Star Fried Chicken. Ready for your next meal. See you next time.
Wednesday mornings in the 8 o'clock hour are all about WagerWise, your go-to source for sports betting insights. Presented by Betfred Sportsbook.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
And last night was a Bowling Night in America. Mark, what happened on the lanes last night at May City Bowl?
Sans Scott Unash, the Rusty Nails suffered a 19-11 defeat, but still tied for fourth. Rough night, but there you'll have that during a 32-week season. Darren Dolman and Josh Berry rolled the high game in the league last night, 268s for each. Marcus Smith with a 7-10 to claim high series. And if you have any questions about league play, open bowling, equipment, give them a call at May City, 362-0136, or visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
All right, there's your Bowling Night in America recap here on the Gym Class on 1600 ESPN. Just went final in the Twin Cities, Nebraska, holding off Purdue in the Big Ten Women's Basketball Tournament, 64-56. So two games in the books, two more to come here from Minneapolis. Mark, you had Maryland beat Illinois 75-65. So Brenda Fries and the Terps are on to take on Ohio State tomorrow. And then Nebraska will play Michigan State, the fourth seed, tomorrow afternoon. Wisconsin-Penn State is a 5:30 start time. So for Iowa fans looking to see who are going to play tomorrow in the quarterfinals, got to wait till 5:30. But should be, it is a fun time of the year, but still plenty of basketball to take in here, not just tonight, but in the weekend to come.
It's going to be a great weekend of basketball and college wrestling and what have you. And Scott and I will be off tomorrow, or Spencer and I will be off tomorrow. We're going to take the day off and rejoin you on Monday. But plenty of local programming in the least with the Todd Brommelkamp Show and Spencer on Sports.
Yeah, Gym Class off the air tomorrow, but I will be in at regular time from 4 to 6. So I'll be with you, taking you through the afternoon drive. As Mark mentioned, Gym Class back at full strength. Scott will be back from Des Moines and all that good stuff on Monday, a full recap of the weekend and a look ahead coming up on Monday. But full local programming in the morning and afternoon still on the air with Todd and myself tomorrow. So, Mark, have a great weekend, and we will talk to you next week, okay?
I will indeed, Spencer. Thanks, and we'll talk to you then.
Sounds good. That's Mark Dukes for producer Andrew, who is still plugging away across the glass there. I'm Spencer Wagon saying thanks for sitting in with the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN for a Thursday edition of the show. If you missed anything, of course, you can check out the podcast at kgymradio.com. We'll have that up for you shortly. If you're sticking around, I hope you do. Spencer on Sports, my regular show, coming up from 4 until 6. Plenty more discussion of college basketball. I got a few other news and notes to get to from college football, Major League Baseball, some NFL talk, and more coming up between 4 and 6. So hope you stick around for that here on 1600 ESPN, Eastern Iowa's home for sports, 358. Spencer on Sports is on the way next.
At Progressive, we know money can't buy happiness.